Without further ado, I'd like to introduce this morning's speaker. Our speaker this morning is Solomon Opong, who has been attending Hillside for the last 3 years with his wife, Gifty. And just incidentally, Gifty works for Medicare. And their three children, Daniel, who's 9, Jaden, who's 7, and Johan, who is 11 months old, all of which were born in Perth. And Solomon is originally from Ghana in West Africa. So. And, this is where this gets really crazy for me because I got to get this right. Solomon is a geological or geomechanical engineer, got through that, and has worked in the mining industry since 2003 in various geologist capacities. He is currently a superintendent geotechnical engineer with Rio Tinto Iron Ore, and he has consulted for companies across Africa, the Middle East, South America, Mongolia, and Australia. This man knows rocks. This man knows the rock. See what I did there? Solomon has been following Jesus since 1995 when he was saved through Scripture Union at his senior high school. He's passionate to see the end time Christians realize their full potential in Christ Jesus. And that's a clue to the message he's about to bring. In preparation for this morning, and in our conversations with Solomon, he's noted that he and his family have been touched by the love and the kindness of the Hillside family since their arrival at Hillside in 2017. And this morning, he wants to bless you. Please welcome to the stage one of our own, Solomon Opong.
Once again, I want to thank the leadership of this church, Pastor and wife, Pastor Craig, and all the elders, some of whom we have been praying with for the opportunity this morning. Over the months that Pastor tapped me on the shoulder to come and preach, I've been struggling with a few sermons. I intended to come and preach on the challenges of being a father in these last days. I prepared sermons on that, and then I decided to go to Ghana for a bit of a hideout to go and pray, and the sermon changed. All right, so whatever we are bringing today, I believe that it is for our time, and I'm not here to scare anybody. I'm here to encourage the brethren. Hallelujah. All right, is the PowerPoint ready? Discerning the signs of the times. All right, next one, please. And how we will endure the last days. So, we are in a crazy time. I think Pastor Craig has already alluded to that. The first photo there is the new missile technology that seems to inflict pain on everyone. It's the hypersonic missile. And according to the experts, it is about 27 times the speed of sound. So when this is unleashed on any nation, on any group, it will be like a lightning striking on you. All right, but this is where the new arms race is heading towards. The Bible says something in Matthew 24, there will be wars and rumors of wars, but those will be the prelude to the end of the age. And I think we all witness that that is what is happening. Currently, there are wars in Libya, in Syria, Yemen. There are wars in Mali, Central African Republic. There are crises in Myanmar, South Sudan, Iran, Iraq, South China Sea, East China Sea, North Korea, Pakistan, Afghanistan, and it goes on. Okay, with increasing lethality. All right. We were fighting with swords and bows and arrows back then, but now this is the new one that we are fighting with. their mass deceptions, turn on the media, and no one have to convince you of what is going on. Truth is not truth anymore. Everything is relative. Okay. There is a calculated campaign to disinform, to misinform the public. All right. People are sitting glued to their TV, and what they think that they are getting facts from is all lies. Families are under attack. I put that one in there. And that was going to be my original message. Okay. Especially Christian families. Divorce is ever on the rise. Christian lives destroyed. Abortions are openly endorsed by governments and sometimes churches. The only species in God's creation that will kill their own in the womb. Think about that. And we justify it by saying it's pro-choice. This generation is in rebellion. I call it a rebellion hyperloop. Okay? We are oversensitive and offended by almost anything and everything. In rebellion, we join the resistance crowd. Humanism is our God. We openly advocate that we are gods. Okay, just think about it. God created us. We say there is no God, but the created one is now saying that they are gods. Next slide. I was blown away when I found this. This is from Open Doors. That's their world list for last year. And we are looking at the 50 most dangerous countries to follow Jesus Christ in. I've listed the first five: North Korea, Afghanistan, Somalia, Libya, Pakistan, and the list goes on. The primary cause of persecution is Islamic oppression, as you can see. Most of these nations are Islam or dominated by Islam, with the exception of a few. 38 out of 50 of the nations that persecute Christians are mostly Islam. And these are the stats. Over 245 million Christians are suffering from persecution today. Over 4,000 Christians killed for their faith last year. On average, 11 Christians killed every day for their faith. Over 2,000 detained without trials, arrested, sentenced, and imprisoned. Over 12,000 churches or Christian buildings are attacked. One in every nine Christians exposed to high levels of persecution. I put some place on the right there. One is from Pakistan. We all know about Asia Bibi, that lady, that, you know, that Christian lady. Eventually, I think is now in the UK. Okay. I don't know if you can read that placard, but they say that, you know, Let's kill this blasphemer. That's exactly what they are saying. On the far bottom there is the recent bombings in Egypt, the Coptic Church. So persecution is on the rise. There's no doubt about that. So the question is, are we in the last days? Thank you. What is Jesus' expectation for us to know? And we read from Matthew 16, 2 and 3. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, You can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. So Jesus expected the religious leaders of that day to understand the times. And I believe that we also need to do the same. They accurately predicted the weather, and I think now we are doing the same. We have all the gizmos. We can predict the cyclone miles away, but can we predict the signs of the times? Do you know what is happening now? Next slide. There are about 10 signs that I wanted to discuss today, but I think I'll limit it to about 4, considering the time. The first one is that there will be scoffers in the last days. We read from 2 Peter 3, 3 to 5. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers or mockers, walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? We'll end here. We'll take it again. In this present day, it is no secret the religious beliefs that most of our professors, our esteemed politicians, school teachers, university lecturers, public servants adhere to. A lot of them are atheists, and they are not shy to let you know. Majority of them are avowed atheists and humanists. They don't believe in the existence of God. These people occupy positions of power, influence, and they are the ones that are making decisions that affect you and I today. They say, let us eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we shall die. They live a carefree, mostly selfish life. They curse the name of our Lord at will. And they actually curse with the name of our Lord. I don't know if you are a Netflix fan, but recently they aired a series and portrayed our Lord as a gay man. That is the second one there. It's received a backlash, but imagine that they would do this with Muhammad. Do you remember in France, someone just cartooned, you know, what they appear to be Muhammad? You saw the backlash. They have more respect, okay, for everyone else but our Lord Jesus Christ. So that is what tells us that we are in the last days. There's this guy in the 19th century who declared that God is dead, Friedrich Nietzsche. All right? So when he died himself, someone also said that Nietzsche is dead, signed God. Coming back to the text, for since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Okay. The second coming of Christ is an established fact. Jesus himself spoke about it numerous times. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his work. This is in Matthew 16, 27, and also repeated in Matthew 25, 31, and 32. Another one that he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I think it's a favorite quotation. I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come back again. This is the Lord himself telling us that he's coming back. So that is a fact. So we don't have to listen to these atheists, overly wise, overly educated people who know nothing about the Word of God. They are unashamed, I'm talking about these atheists, in bashing God and ridiculing and mocking Him. But that is all part of science of the age. Next slide, please. Actually, stay on this one. If you read the verse 5 for 2 Peter 3, there's something that I want to bring to your attention. It says that for this day, willingly are ignorant. Okay, so they choose not to know. It's a choice. They know that God exists. They will not declare it. Okay. They do not want to retain God in their memory at all. They live a life of rebellion. They profess to be wise and educated. They've become fools. The Bible said that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I hope we are all wise here this morning. They choose to glorify man instead of God. Next slide. The second sign that we would like to discuss can be found in 2 Timothy 3, 1-8. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Perilous times, another word for perilous is fierce. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers. Another translation will say covenant breakers. False accusers. Not sure if anyone listened to the Brett Kavanaugh hearings. I'm not saying that, you know, that man is perfect, but if you listen to both sides of the aisle, you could see that a lot of people were just, you know, they were false accusers. Incontinent. And this word is used in the sexual context, okay? People that cannot hold their desires. They will chase anything. We've come to the point that, you know, people are now sleeping with animals. They call it bestiality. That is where our desires has gotten us to now. Fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded. Lovers of pleasure. We'll come back to some of these things. More than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, the Bible encourages you to turn away. I'll take it from verse 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That is a frightful position to be. You are learning and seeking knowledge, but you never come to the knowledge of the truth. Verse 8. And as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth and resist and align. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. So why perilous times? I believe the reason is that the deterioration of human character, ethics, and morals. For men shall be, and I'm highlighting a few just for us to discuss, lovers of self. We now live in a culture of selfies. People only care about themselves, narcissistic, okay? We take ourselves too seriously sometimes. We need our personal space. We have thin skins, easily aroused and triggered. And the list goes on. We become lovers of pleasure. And this, I think, we have a lot to say. If we need to characterize the spirit of the age, it is overindulgence. We can't help ourselves. Trust me, I believe that God created us to enjoy life, enjoy our hobbies, enjoy our family kids, etc. Should these desires grow and replace our need for God, then we are in crisis. We believe that? Watch out for the games, the entertainment, the sports, the amusements. It's funny, okay? Entertainment comes from the word amuse, okay? And in Greek, anytime you add a to a word, it negates it, okay? So musing means you are serious, thinking about something. Amuse, you can derive your own conclusions. And that is the way that entertainment comes from. Are these distancing you from God? What time do we dedicate for worshiping God in a week? That is an honest question to everyone. Just answer it in your own head. What time do you dedicate for God in a day? In a week? In a month? Do you just rock up to church and that is the contribution you've done for God for that week? Is your spare time filled with too many activities that drain your spiritual batteries? And I'll give an example here. A few years ago, Gifty and I were just juggling, you know, between extracurricular activities. We had about four activities that the boys were engaged in. Okay, basketball, tennis, swimming. And on top of that, we had to go to Mandarin area for brigade, boys brigade. Okay, we're fine with that. Okay, we plan. She works. I go very early. I leave the house about 5:40 so that I could make the 2:30 bus in time to come and pick the boys and, you know, send them, you know, wherever. So we're doing this for a few months happily until, you know, they came back to us. Oh, your boys are doing great. Now they need to join the district competitions. Good, right? Then I said, okay, that's great. What time do we have to? Okay, Sunday morning. I said, all right. Right there in front of the lady, I said, okay, cancel, you know, just take his name out. I didn't have to think twice about it. If we are not careful, we will be sitting here worshiping God and the devil will be actively working on our kids. Okay, in the name of giving them a future, okay, you deprive them of the word of God. Lovers of pleasure. I didn't want to go here. I wanted to keep this message, you know, PG, but I think we need to. All right. Sexual immorality. Even in the churches. signs of the times. Pornography. Fathers. We need to guard against some of these things. You need to be interested in what your wards are watching on their phones, on their tablets, on their PCs. You need to be interested. You yourself, you need to guard yourself. All right. I've experimented with several ways of trying to control the internet. You know, installing NetNanny. I don't know if anyone knows that. There are some systems that you can install that monitors every activity. All in the name of you controlling yourself. But I believe that the best antidote to all this is you being in the spirit. It is only when we drop out of the spirit in our carnal nature, then we tend to satisfy the fleshly requirements. Be in the spirit. That is a commandment from the Bible, not from me. If you drop out of the spirit, you open a can of worms. Pornography. It is leading a lot of good believers down the drain, down the tubes, into hell. The root word of pornography is poneros. And if you investigate that, it means wickedness. So you think that you are satisfying your desires, but you are loading yourself with a lot of unwanted spirits. And I believe that all the addictions that are running around are demons. That is my belief. So you might be a good Christian today, Holy Ghost filled, tongue-talking believer, and you open up a gateway and the devil will maximize and optimize it. That is what he's good at. Guard yourself with these pleasures. If you have an issue and you think you need help, they are good pastors here. Come and talk to them. And you need to be sincere and open. Because sometimes you've gone too far down that it's difficult to get yourself out. You need someone to help you and lift you up. And that person also needs to guard themselves. We are in a dispensation that, you know, the world is on our fingertips. You know, talk to Dr. Google and you have everything. I feel I need to hammer this pornography. Because it is causing a lot of angst in the body of Christ. And not only the men, the women do it too. Something I want to highlight on this same one is the resistance. The resistance group. And the story goes, here Paul connects that resistance to something from Exodus. Right? Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. And I think we'll take a few moments and go through that story. During the days of Pharaoh, God instructed Moses to cast his rod, which turned to a snake. We all know that story. The Bible says that Pharaoh commanded his magicians to do the same. And they did. Until Moses' rod swallowed theirs. Then they acknowledged that there was a higher power at work. Their minds are corrupt and reprobate. They were withstanding the work of God. I don't know if you've realized, since 2016, there's a heightened resistance across all the Western world. That was when Donald Trump was elected president. Some of these are steeped into witchcraft. As a matter of fact, they don't only protest you in the open, they are also casting spells. They call it hexes, vexes. And they invite you into their witch parties and give you this, you know, incantation and spells. And they are binding world leaders. They are binding pastors. Anyone they feel is in their way, they are casting spells. Do the research. They are daily and monthly hexes on evangelical pastors, especially those that are supporting, you know, conservative leaders across the world. Witches are openly inviting people to join their covens to cast spells. And they sell, you know, memorabilia and all that. And the proceeds are donated to, guess what? Planned Parenthood. So that made me think a little bit. Why would a witch donate to Planned Parenthood? Do you know how Planned Parenthood came about? Have you done that homework? I was amazed when Gifty told me that they're actually in Ghana. I thought it was only in the Western world, but Planned Parenthood is in Ghana too. Hiding under the pretext that, you know, they are helping you plan the family, their main motivation is to, you know, get rid of human beings. Can you imagine the many professors, those that God has, you know, entrusted to bring us innovations, inventions that will help us, you know, in these times that we've aborted? Trust me, abortion, if it's medically, is something that, you know, the doctors are recommending, I'm all for it. The one that I don't adhere to, or the one that I don't subscribe, is, you know, out of your promiscuity and your rebellion, you are just killing babies. Yes, the government would have legalized it, but in the eyes of God, murder is murder. That is the one that I'm talking about. There's forgiveness. If anyone has done that, God will forgive. Next slide. This one, we can spend all day on this one. False teachers and false prophets. One of the key ingredients in we realizing that we are in the last days. We take the passage from 2 Peter 2, 1 and 2. But there were false prophets also among the people. So Peter here is referring to the Old Testament. So as in the old, so in the new. Even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bore them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, their wicked ways, their dangerous ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Because of the false teachers, even speaking the truth becomes evil. Because they would have worked the congregation to the point that you tell them the truth of the word, they turn on you. And through their covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingered not, and their damnation slumbered not. Merchandise. Have you wondered or notice some of these preachers that are ever talking about prosperity. Everything is about money to them. Without naming names, let the Holy Ghost guide us. The second passage is from 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, underlined, sound doctrine. But after their own lusts, shall they heap to themselves teachers, false teachers, having itching ears. Okay. Tickling ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. Conditions are ripe for false prophets who prey on the vulnerable. Okay. And weak. False teachers are within the body of Christ. That one, there is no doubt. They started with us, they went out of us, or they went from us and veered off the truth. Their teachings are carefully crafted. They are great storytellers. They have great jokes, great entertainment. As a matter of fact, some of these churches have become entertaining centers. But ultimately, they lead these unsuspecting believers astray. Believers who stay in the Word of God will want more of the Word of God. If you stay in the Word, you will want more. The Bible says that deep calls unto deep. The more you want the Word, you can't have enough of God. He will open you up, show you more things. If you stay in the Word, you get more Word. When your appetite for the Word of God is on the decline, be careful. You are in dangerous territory. You are developing ticklish ears. Back to the slide. False teachers subversively question the special creation work of Christ. And I know there are people here that can take me on and argue. But this is not the time. I'm a geologist. I've been trained in understanding and believing that rocks are billions of years in the making. I know that. But which part of the Word of God do I want to throw out because of my education? At what point in your Christian journey did you start believing the Word of God? Does it start from Genesis? Or maybe you threw Genesis out and you start believing from Exodus? There's no way we can prove the creation work of God. God called the things out of nothing. And no scientific laboratory can prove that. The authority of the Word, okay? They question the authority of the Word. I think I'll read this one. 2 Timothy 3:16. And this is where I encourage you to read your Bibles. Because I don't have it on the screen. So if you have your phones, please, let's read it. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All right. Did you get that? Okay, correct me. I'll read it again. Some scripture is given by inspiration. All scripture. So, do you want to discount Genesis? All right. Let's go on. They questioned the virgin birth, the resurrection, the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you question the virgin birth, then it means that Jesus didn't come from God. Because a man gave birth to him. And if so, our hope in him is void. But almost all the cults that you can ever think of would deny this, and they will also deny the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that if you want to know the spirit of an antichrist, someone who denies the Father and the Son. They question the efficacy of the saving work on the cross. The sanctity of marriage between a man, correct me, and a man. Okay, maybe I got it wrong. They question the sanctity of marriage between a woman and a woman. Between a man and a woman. The church, we have an open arms, okay? If someone has this inkling and you step in the church, we will love on you, but we'll have to tell you the truth. Okay? We don't have to endorse that shameful practice in the body of Christ. And as a matter of fact, if you have this inkling, you have these tendencies, come right here, I'll pray for you. Okay? There's no science about it. Is the work of the devil. If you have any gay inklings and tendencies, please come here. We'll pray for you. I'm serious. I've just returned from Ghana, and Christianity got into Ghana in the 18th century. So we were blessed with the Dutch reformers, you know, the Basel movements. You know, later on they became the Presbyterians. We have Methodist churches flourishing across Ghana, Assemblies of God, which, you know, had an offshoot to become Pentecostal churches. And they've done wonderfully, you know. I got saved through the scriptural union on the school campus. But in recent times, the wind of apostasy is settling in. Grievous wolves, you know, masquerading as true pastors, are causing havoc to the body of Christ in my own country. Well, the other one. Believers have abandoned their faith and flocking to these false prophets. And I'm sure that even here too, if we search enough, we'll find a few in our own land. They went out from amongst us. I think I've already touched on apostasy. So next slide, we'll jump that one. So jump to enduring the last days for the sake of time. In our last days, I think it's quite stressful. If you listen to the news, sometimes you just have to tune your radio set down or turn off your TV. We've touched on that. There will be persecutions. there will be increase in sin. People will betray, brethren will be betraying each other. The love of many will wax cold, according to Matthew 24. But I want us to read Matthew 24, 13, briefly. I'll start from 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Hallelujah. Okay. So the question is how? How do we endure? And I'll quickly run through these ones. I think chief on what we need to do to endure is knowing who Christ is for us. The Bible says that I have known whom I have believed. And I'm confident that he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. So if you know who Christ is for you, I think that would take you through these last days. Jesus Christ is our Savior. He is our sustainer. The Bible says that he is the author and finisher of our faith. That is Hebrews 12:2. Jesus is the creator, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, our shield and our buckler. He is our protector. Jesus is victorious over sin, death, and the grave. Okay? The only mediator between God and man. He is the judge. I've listed a few things here. If anyone is interested in the script, I think we can come and see Pastor. I don't know if this one will be uploaded or I don't know, but it's there. We need to have patience. We need to be persistent and we need to persevere. Okay. We don't have to be quitters. We just need to be patient and persevere. When the trials come our way, when the temptations come, when the persecutions come, we need to be patient. Endure persecutions. We need to suffer long. That is actually a promise. We'll quickly read it. 2 Timothy 3:10. It's one of the sobering promises that you don't want to read. God actually tells you that, you know, you will be persecuted. Actually, it's, we'll pick it from 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me in Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, Paul said, all that will live a godly life in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions. How shall we endure the last days? Study the Holy Scriptures. Know the truth. The Bible says that study to show thyself approved, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That is a commandment. You need to know the Bible inside out. It needs to be here. You need to write it on, you know, every, you know, wear it. Wear the word. You need it. How can you effectively combat the enemy in your mind if you don't know the word? I put this one in here. You need to associate and develop good relationship with Christian mentors. Find one. I'm sure there are many in this church. Paul says something that imitate me, even as I imitate Christ. So find someone that you think that you can learn from. Befriend them. Learn from them. To the youth, that is what we did when we became Christians. We were looking for men of God that had, you know, gone ahead of us. Learn from their mistakes so that you don't make the same one. And last but not the least, watch and pray. Pray for everything, anything, anytime, anywhere. Be watchful, the Bible says. Develop your discerning, you know, gifts. Understand what they are saying. Go behind what the person, the true intent of what they are trying to tell you. Be watchful. Guard your house. Guard your faculties. Guard your members. Be watchful. Pray. Hallelujah. So I think we will end it here for the sake of time. I've taken one more minute out of, which is a good one. But as I said, this is just a fraction of the signs. We can talk about, you know, the distressing nations. We can talk about the sign of Noah. We can talk about a few others, okay? The increase in spiritualism. Okay, but we'll save that one for another time. Hallelujah. Can we be on our feet? Do we have a representative of anyone in the global team in missions? Please come here. And Pastor, if you want to join with here, please. Considering that there's this persecution going on, I think you need more grace. And we want to pray for them, Pastor.
Just before I pray for these guys, I just want to, today's message, I love this. I love the rawness and the truthfulness of God's word. And here at Hillside, we will always preach the word of God. And today you've heard the word of God. And some of you might be thinking, whoa, this is really heavy. You know what? God's word is actually light. But it's the truth that will set you free. And I think today's message is so important for us to grab hold of. You know, last year we the theme was more or less around about seeking first the kingdom of God. We're committed to transformation. We'll always be committed to transformation. But today you've heard some really raw truths. But they're truths. We can't hide from them. And I just want to echo what Solomon said, and that is, if anyone is struggling in any area, we are here for you. You know, we're here to help, and we're here to do this. We're brothers and sisters in Christ, and as family, we are to hold each other and encourage one another. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. Pornography, pornea, has been around since the beginning of time. Stay there, Solomon. Don't you go away. You need prayer as well after this message. So the invitation's there. If you're struggling in any area, there is no judgment here. All right? No judgment. But we're here to help. All right? And here to encourage. And we want to see, like God wants to see you just improve and just. But these guys, I look at these guys and I just see, you know, God's call on their lives. I mean, Pat and Dave have been involved Youth for Christ collectively over 60 years. Nat and James, China, their heart for people, lost tribes. It's just incredible that the work that these people do. But like Solomon, they travel the world. They've traveled the world and they've seen what's going on in the world. And quite frankly, every time I see an African person come into this temple or come into the house of God, I've been into churches in Africa, and oh my goodness, the worship would still be going, you know, and they'd be jumping up and down for hours, and then the word comes, and then they jump up and down for hours again, praising and worshiping the Lord. These guys have seen it all around the world. The passion for Christ is so rich, and that's what I believe we're to really get hold of if we're to survive these end times. Amen? So let's just raise out your hands for these guys.